السلام عليكم ورحمة
السلام
الله
عليكم.
وبركاته. Welcome
أهلا
back.
وسهلا، الله يحييك.
The people have been asking for you.
I have been asking for them too.
Have you now?
الله. Surely yes, yes, yes.
Really?
I've been missing this chaos.
Yeah, it is a little chaotic. Yeah. My iced coffee is so far away.
You really want it?
I really do. Wait, I'll get it. I'll get it. I'll get it.
Yeah, no, wait. Yes.
Oh, sweet success. Thank you. Bless your soul. Bless your cotton socks. زي ما صار بتحكي. Okay, so Dad's back in the studio. Well, the studio being my apartment today. And we're flying out Thursday, inshallah.
Inshallah.
So we're going to try to record today. And then record another episode before we go. And maybe, maybe I'll do a vlog with Dad when we're traveling. Let
no,
us know. In the
no, I don't think so.
Let us know in the comments. I'll sneak peek some shots of him like the paparazzi.
No.
And I'll give the people what they want.
Allah Kareem.
Okay, so Baba, today I'm going to be a girly girl.
Yeah.
And you're going to take the lead on the conversation.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, we were talking a lot behind the scenes.
Bismillah.
I'm just a girl.
What is the subject? Remind me.
So we were talking and we said, I think we went into a discussion because of, we were talking about certain things and people that we know. And we were talking about the statement that men and women can't be friends. And you agree and I agree. And then I was like, that would be cool to discuss because I get that a lot. And I sense, especially in the Muslim world, because there's a lot of taboo on how you can and can't approach a man or a woman. But then also sometimes we work in environments where we are around men or women, or you go to schools that are mixed and so on and so forth. And I think people don't really know how to behave with one another. And the deep infiltration of social media and pop culture and movies, we really have it skewed in our minds what men and women want and desire from one another.
Very, very much. And I can say that I don't want to see who's the victim here and who's been denied. Both are victims because nothing comes from lack of understanding except vagueness, unclarity, chaos, and pain, which results in pain.
Lack of clarity breeds a lot of anxiety. 9 times out of 10, when you find someone having a panic attack or this deep anxiety or this distress or lack of sleep or overthinking, it's because of a deep lack of clarity and preciseness on what the situation at hand is. And usually it can be just a simple sentence or a word of reassurance or just confirmation, whatever it may be, and the whole thing settles. Otherwise, it's kind of turmoil and it's just havoc.
True, except if the anxiety is self-produced, and a lot of people have mastered the art of producing their own anxiety and feeding it and justifying it as it is being
the most valid thing in the world. Yeah, agreed.
And it's a vicious circle, and just taking a deep breath. And going back, and for a moment, for a flash, for a fraction of a second, reflect on whom you are and how you think and what you do. And it would really bring a lot of amazing clarity if you keep on doing it.
Yeah.
Now, back to the subject of men and women. There is a lot of injustice happening to both genders.
Yeah.
And I can claim it is being done by design.
It is.
And it is, you could see how the abundance of the poisonous fruits of the tree, it's just ripe and for picking. And no one is benefiting from this, not the men, not the women.
Yeah.
Who's benefiting from this? You know them.
Yeah.
We know them. And the price is being paid is actually stability, the life, and the value of whom we are as human beings.
Yeah.
Yes, men and women cannot be friends. They are not designed to be friends.
Why do you think men and women can't be friends?
How do you qualify and how do you define friendship?
How do you define friendship?
Isn't it between two akins?
Mm-hmm.
Best friendship is between peers. Look at it. People who have common interests, commonality, like we both love sports.
Yeah.
We both love hunting. We both love writing. That's we have a common purpose. And if you understand the nature of two men that have connected in a deep friendship, I said something long ago when I was young. I said, your friend come closer and closer and closer to you till he becomes your brother.
Yeah.
And your brother comes closer and closer and closer to you till he becomes your friend. So the best brothers are the ones that you deal with them as if they are your friends. And the best friends are the one you deal with them as if they are your brothers.
That's going to fall on the... Sorry.
And I can also say the same thing for you as girls. The best friend is the one you feel she's your sister.
Yeah.
And the best sister is the one you feel she's your friend.
Yeah.
And, well, if... I don't want it to sound like criticism, but it's very difficult state to reach, especially among women.
There's a saying, "Adu al-mar'a al-mar'a," the enemy of the woman is another woman. And it's not to say that women cannot be friends or create a deep bond that defies what you would think even a friendship is and can go beyond the limits and be a very spiritual, amazing, wonderful bond. It's not to say that you can't have that, but I have seen firsthand, and you see it everywhere, because you cannot find a girl that hasn't been screwed over by another woman.
Absolutely.
You can't, it doesn't exist. You cannot find it. So I really believe that a woman's biggest enemy is another woman for many reasons: jealousy, envy, insecurity. The worst of it is when another man is involved, but it happens. And it's important to be very aware of these things. Because when you're aware of it, it's when you're able to say no to it and attract the opposite. But if you deny its existence, you will only ever attract it.
The woman mind is built on comparison.
It is.
And comparison can be a very dangerous trap.
What do they say? Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's if you find yourself comparing all day long,
and the man mind is built on what?
Competitiveness. Facts.
Thank you.
Facts.
Thank you.
I saw they're gonna come for me, Andrew Tate. I saw a clip once. Again, if I reference Andrew Tate, well, it's not the end of the world.
you can reference anybody.
Yeah.
If you have a piece of wisdom, take it, even from the devil himself.
See, I used to say that. And separating the art from the artist. And I'm able to do that with a lot of people. The one person I can't do that with is Jordan Peterson. I refuse to. I don't want nothing from anything he said. But with Andrew Tate, I agree with a lot of what he said. Do I agree with everything? No, but there's no one in the world that I agree with every single thing they've ever said. That being said, he said once, most men, when they meet each other for the first time, the first thought that comes into their mind, or one of the first thoughts, is, can I fight him? Can I take him on? And not in an aggressive, I want to kill you way, but it's just the competitive nature of a man, or like the metric of strength, you know? And I can see how that could be a thing.
And, well, although it's a bit of deviation, but how do you know that a man is mature? And a man is have achieved a sense of enlightenment within when there is no competitiveness to other men.
Okay, see, you say this all the time because you always say you don't have a competitive bone in your body, and I get it because I'm not competitive like you.
I just been blessed with it. It's not something that I brag about. I was giving it. It was just the way I was made. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Anyway, back to, because you said we deviated to men and women can't be friends. I think men and women can't be friends for one very clear reason. someone always wants something the other person doesn't. And then the power dynamic shifts on its axis, in the sense, it's either the girl develops feelings or the boy develops feelings, and it becomes really toxic really quickly. You're setting yourself up for failure. You become addicted to this person being a constant in your life, but it's the facade of a constant. It's a mirage. And one of you gets hurt in the end. I don't think it's possible for men and women to be friends just because of the power dynamic. Someone loses in the end. It's inevitable.
All the men I saw that were claiming that they have girls as friends.
It's because they want to sleep with them. Men are only nice to women when they want something.
Well, you see, you can work with women and have a proper barrier between you and her and proper... It's a proper way of compartmentalization.
Professional relationship. Yes. Yeah.
You deal with members of families. You deal with people with like it's a complicated form of relationship we have in a society. But I can never claim another girl is my friend.
Yeah.
It simply doesn't work. Why? Like that. Because that's not how we are built. As men, I might care for her. I might want to protect her. I might want to this, and I may not have at the moment a sexual impulse to her, or I want something back from her, but that's because I elevated maybe, or fine. Because she is but not up to the interest.
Okay, but we're talking about everyday men and women. Also, again, Daddy, don't talk about you wanting to sleep with women. No.
Baba, don't take me as an example.
Let's talk about like my audience, right? Yes. So you're talking about a lot of teenagers, a lot of men and women in their 20s and 30s. So you're talking about everyday people. You go to the office, you have perhaps a colleague that you've developed a relationship with and maybe feelings are arising. So we're talking about everyday people. Don't talk about your little...
Statistically speaking,
yeah,
most of the relationship, especially like what we call cheating, happens in offices and happens in workplaces.
Do you think that is that done by design?
Maybe.
I never thought of it.
And why is that? Because we are not meant to mingle that much with each other.
To mingle.
Like we meant to respect and like, you know, this, you know, how to say it? You know, the borders, when you allow the borders.
Like a country?
No, for the individualistic and the social borders.
Okay.
When you allow them to melt, what comes out of that, after that?
Chaos.
Chaos.
That.
Chaos. Like women are supposed to seek friends among other women, and men are supposed to seek friends among other men. But we may mingle. We may have different form of because society has changed, and we have to find how can we survive in such societies? Like, okay, you work in offices, you have both sexes working around you.
Yeah.
Show respect and hold your barriers and borders.
And boundaries.
And boundaries. And deal with everybody with respect.
Yeah, of course.
But what is happening is most of the time is completely different.
And I think the boundaries are very blurry.
Very blurry.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is you will find a lot of women claiming that there are friends and they have been as friends. You rarely will find men claiming that. Because men know deeply.
That's
yes,
not true.
That's not true.
Do you know how many guys I've heard say, oh, she's just a friend?
Oh, that's an insult to a woman.
Right? In my case, I'm always like, don't insult my intelligence.
Yeah, that's an insult to a woman.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I only think a guy can... This is my hot take. Again, every episode I have to have a hot take, okay? This is my hot take. A man can only genuinely be friends with a woman when he has no sexual interest in her whatsoever.
Yeah. And still he cannot be friend.
What?
I'm telling you.
Why?
No, they cannot be friend.
No,
he's just been cornered in that place where...
That's not fair. That's not fair. She cornered him in that place. I'm an anti-feminist and I disagree with what you're
saying. He's cornered into that place where that there's nothing in this woman that he wants. So he calls her a friend.
What if she has a great personality? I'm
sorry. Yeah, she can have a great personality and she can be a great woman.
Yeah.
You acknowledge that.
Okay, friendship.
And you deal... No, that's not friendship.
Then what is it?
You see...
What if they have a similar interest? And let's say they go paddle every weekend.
You cannot ask water and oil to
Okay, but you have to explain it. So my hot take is I think the only times a man and a woman can genuinely be friends is when the man has zero sexual interest. But then sometimes the girl has sexual interest. Anyway, my point is... Well, then what do you call it? If he calls her, checks up on her, if they're friends, if they behave and move as friends, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck.
I don't think that's
it. Then what is it? Because you're saying he's cornered and that doesn't make any sense to me.
If
it doesn't make sense to me, it doesn't make sense to my people.
Yeah, that's fine. And it may not make sense to me at the moment, but I that's exactly how I see it. I've been a man for 61 years of my life.
Really?
And
wow, this is news to me.
and
guys, Dad's birthday was like 2 weeks ago. Happy belated birthday!
Thank you. And in these 61 years of my life,
you've grown.
I have never claimed that I have a woman as a friend. I know it cannot happen.
Are you sure you want to lie to me?
No, I don't.
You've never claimed a woman is your friend.
No.
Ah. Even our producer is laughing. Aha. You know, I'm going to let you have it because you're 61 and senile and everything.
No, who was my friend?
Beats me.
No.
No one.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Fact. Say it with your chest, Daddy.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Great. I'm glad we had this conversation.
Never. No, never.
Okay, wait. My eye's really, really watering. Can I have a tissue for my eye? Oh. Dad's making serious jokes. It made me cry. Sorry, Pops. Aini, yaba. Okay, fine, Daddy. You don't have any female friends. Let's just go with that.
No, I don't, and I don't think I can. And I don't... I might have proper...
I'm going to say one thing. You might have proper what? Don't even finish that sentence. Don't even... I'm going to say one thing.
Proper working relationships.
Sure. I'm going to say one thing. Everything that I know about men and women is from watching you for the past 30 years that I've been on this earth.
Thank you. That's such a compliment.
Yeah. Okay. So I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But I never had women as friends.
Okay. Let's move on from you.
I worked with women.
Let's move on from you.
I
Oh, I know you worked with women. Let's move on from you.
Yeah. But not as friends.
Okay.
No. So, how would you define a friend? Like, so suddenly you have this nostalgic sensation that you want to call someone and see him and just sit and share a moment or just go and do an activity.
Do you think this is okay? This is where I might ask this question because I feel like the audience might understand this, okay? Because obviously, a lot of people are single, and we're talking about chronically single. Really struggling to meet someone, to be a life partner, to start a life with, and so on and so forth. And then let's say they go to university or they go to work and they mingle, as one does, because perhaps it's their colleague, their partner in work, whatever it is. There's a lot of mingling happening. Now, when someone is chronically single, the sense of loneliness can arise and the sense of companionship and just wanting to speak to someone. And a lot of the times, yes, you can be friends with girls, or people of the same sex, excuse me, and it's great. But sometimes the need, especially when you get older, for just the opposite sex's energy, you know what I mean? Either the fatherly figureness, because mind you, a lot of people out there have their daddy issues, the men and the women, where the father was absent, you know what I mean, or was horrible. So the craving for that father figure and the male energy is even stronger. Or in a lot of men's cases, if the mother wasn't there, or the craving for that is there. Then so absolutely. Then sometimes they can hide behind or not. Let me phrase this properly. Sometimes they're not even aware that craving is so deeply ingrained in them that they just subconsciously are moving it throughout this world. And then they meet someone and they hide behind the guise of friendship. But just because the craving is there.
You said it perfectly.
I know, because I'm amazing.
You see, just be honest with yourself. We need the company of each other. We need the presence of each other. We need each other.
Okay,
but not in the form of friendship.
You're talking about like halal marital relations. In an ideal world. Because even I'm 30 and I'm single. You know what I mean? But if you're single and you haven't met that person who God has destined and decreed for you, but someone comes along and wants to show you.
There were women that came into my life seeking advice.
Okay, for the love of God.
seeking advice, seeking direction, seeking... And I never called them my friend.
I don't want to talk about you.
Like, okay.
You, CD.
No.
Loves ya. We're talking about everyday people.
Okay. I understand. You said something which is very, very valuable. That we seek the energy of each other. Okay.
I think each gender seeks the energy and the companionship of the opposite gender.
That's very natural. And that's the way we are created.
Yes.
And that's healthy.
Yes.
But what is not healthy is to lie to ourselves and call it something which is not.
I agree. But also, when it's almost like you're in the desert dying of thirst and then someone comes and gives you a drop of water. So maybe you find solace in the opposite sex.
Of course. But that's not friendship. That's
what solace. Is it then?
That's the natural, deep, innate craving that we have.
Then would it be okay if both people acknowledged, it's not that I want to marry you, and it's not even that I want to date you, but your companionship and the speaking to you is something my soul requires in the moment.
You know, I may
because
not...
Because then, what are we doing?
Regardless, I approve this or not. I'd rather have it like this rather than lying to each other and calling it friendship.
So just be fully honest in that sense.
Yes, because you see, it actually takes you one step closer to where you intended to be.
Okay, I will raise you another one. You think, and you are of the belief, that the best relationships stem from friendship.
Yeah. Between a man and a man.
No, I'm talking about the best marriages. You are of the firm belief that the best marriage and the best relationship stems from friendship.
See, if a couple...
You told me this.
Yes, if a couple can become... They have to be a couple first, okay? And then they can become the best companion of each other. And they can become friends to each other under... You see, the thing is, the sexuality of the couple and the fact that they are bonding into a sexual relationship comes before the friendship. But
that's the problem.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. When the lust supersedes everything else.
Yes. So if a married couple... Or a couple in love, and then they become friends. I understand that. This is you may call it friendship, but what it is actually is proper companionship.
But I'm not talking about that.
Oh, you're talking.
I'm talking about forget dating, because for example, I don't date. I don't encourage my audience to date. I really don't. It's one of the things that I'm very vocal about. Even in private with my girlies, I'm like, I don't know what you're doing dating. And I have a lot of girlfriends who date. I'm against the casual dating. I'm also against the getting to know each other for a year because...
It's a waste of time.
A year is insane to me. But my point is, there's also the fear of... And don't get me wrong, I am also of the belief or of the... In the sense of that I desire someone to just look at me and be like, that's my wife, let's go. But that's theoretical, right? In practicality, I would freak out. I'd be like, who are you? You might be a narcissist. You might be love bombing me. I don't know who you are. Do you get what I'm saying? So just because of everything that I've seen and experienced from life, taking the time to get to know someone is something that I think I would really stand for because I would be terrified to dive in headfirst. Truth be told, I'll tell you why. Because I have a rule in life, and this is something that my friend told me, okay? It takes 3 months to figure out if you're dealing with a narcissist or a horrible person, and it takes 6 months to figure out where it's going. In the sense that no one can keep up a facade and a lie for more than 3 months. The cracks begin to take place, especially amongst men and women in a romantic relationship. 3 months in, every lie they've ever told or every fake sweetness, it'll fade. It will crumble. The real face will start to show.
Well, it 3 months is a lot of time.
No,
but it's a maximum.
It's a maximum.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about it takes the 3 months to, you know, if they're lying to you, if they're acting sweet and then they want to start love bombing you or switching on you and the inconsistency starts to appear, after 3 months, you know. You know what I mean? If you're looking for the right signs, if you're actually actively, consciously, very awarely looking. But my point is, in an ideal world, yes, I want the Candace Owens within 17 days we were engaged in and whatever, right? But in realistically, just from the bitterness that I've tasted from people, it would freak me out. I think it's too good to be true. That could stem from my sense of lack of self-worth. But I would desire the friendship beforehand. Court me.
Courting is not friendship. Courting can be very, very important, especially in our time.
I think courting is very important.
Very important. Especially if it's done honorably.
I agree. So my thing is, in an ideal world, and this is when I talk to my girlfriends in private, I always say in an ideal world, what I would want is a meet cute. You just meet someone naturally. And within a month, he's like, I want to talk to your dad. Within a month. He has 1 month, 30 days, وخلصنا. But it's within that month, you can tell if someone has you as an option or someone's actually trying to see you, spend time with you, and get to know you on a cellular level. It's very clear that that's...
It is. Now, when women have men, and sometimes some of those girls have four, five, six, a long roster? Of men... they are friends. None of them is your friend. And why you are keeping them? Because women like attention.
Women love attention.
Okay.
Women, Baba, we're addicted to attention.
And
it's part of our narcissism, our innate narcissism.
That's fine. That's the way women are created.
Agreed.
The most valuable currency a woman has and a man can give to a woman is attention.
I agree, but I'll raise you one.
Oh.
I think, especially as a man, if you're going to present yourself as a friend to a woman and a good, decent woman, you have to be in service, because it is a woman's nature to nurture and it's a man's manhood to be of service. And it doesn't mean to be a slave and beg at her feet, excuse me, but it's in a man's nature to want to be of service, to want to help, to want to be a problem solver. So if you present yourself in a woman's life and you're not a problem solver in a healthy way, you have no business being in that woman's life. Because 9 times out of 10, a woman is in your life nurturing. Women bring a lot of good. A good woman, just her existence in your life can be life-changing. Just the energy that she brings, the blessings, the intuition, the gut feeling, it can be life-changing. So as a man, if you are not of service, go home.
If a man is not of service, he's not a man.
Facts. Say it again.
If a man is not, he's not a man. You know, I start my day by service. I always go around, even my own people, my own staff, asking, what do you want? Drink this. Sometimes you think I'm the coffee boy, but it gives me a lot of sense of value because I'm serving.
I think acts of service is the most selfless love language, because you have to go out of your way to provide and give to someone else, even if it doesn't serve you in the moment, or it's you going out of your way, or you're tired, or you're exhausted, but to prioritize someone else because they are in need. And I think it's the biggest trait of a man. It's the most manly trait, is to be of service.
It is a must. But what do men get from women being in their life as friends? I don't advise men to keep women around as friends, especially young men. It's
a distraction.
It's a distraction.
It is.
It's a delusion. And you're lying to yourself, and you're lying to her, and you're lying to me, telling me that she's your friend, because your brain is ticking, waiting for that moment.
To what? To prance?
What's the...
Daddy!
Absolutely, Baba.
Guys, I apologize in advance. My dad's getting riled up.
No. Absolutely. This is where
we... So then we go back to what I initially said. A man is only friends with a woman when he's sexually attracted to her and waiting for the right moment to pounce.
Show me the last time you've seen a man claiming he's a friend to an elderly woman who needs help and who needs assistance. And
stop. This will actually make me upset, because I think the thing that we talked about this in one of our earliest episodes, something that'll break my heart is seeing an old lady still working. And you mentioned this also.
Yes.
Ugh, stop.
Why is it? Most of those men have women as friends that they actually don't want them as partners or husbands or boyfriends or whatever you want to call it. She just pushed you aside.
Yeah.
You are not up to her. I'll keep you aside. You're an option, maybe.
Can I say something based on what you're saying as well? It might be a little bit of a diversion, but it's just a thought that I've been having recently, and I think it's really important. You know the saying, people will always show you who they are?
Absolutely. They will always tell you who they are.
Yes, and people will always tell you who they are. I've really been thinking about that. Sometimes it's not necessarily people will always tell you and show you who they are. Sometimes it's a matter of you need to allow the person to show you who they are, in the sense of stop finishing their sentences, stop giving them the benefit of the doubt, stop making up excuses for them when they are presenting in an entirely different way. Don't project your narrative onto them. Allow them to show you and tell you who they are, because most of the time they are. It's just you're refusing to see it.
Your insecurity
is screaming so loudly that you're trying to force something else to be a reality when the reality is really clear. So sometimes it's not about them showing you, it's just about you being quiet long enough to allow them to show you. I've been thinking about that recently. Because people yappa.
You know, if you listen to people, they will tell you whom they are, sometimes from the first sentence, before they start, yeah. Wallahi, I don't want to cheat you.
I don't want to means I'm going to.
Wallahi. I don't want to do this and this and that. Just forget anything that comes after that. Go back to the first sentence. He just told you exactly what he wants to do. It's not that I want this.
I remember I had a friend in school. His name was Ezd. Oh, I love that boy. Still love him. We grew up together. And I remember he said something, and we were young. I think we were 14 or 15 at the time. And he said something that you had told me. And that's why I was like, He said, be careful of the people who start their sentences or their phrase with the word no.
Yeah.
You're talking to them and they just say, no, but this. No, yeah, I get what you mean. When people start their sentence with the word no, it's very tricky, because that's a lot of negativity, and that's a lot of complaint, and that's a lot of ill will and malice and ill intent. And you don't even realize it, but that's their subconscious coming to the forefront.
Yes.
With an immediate negative.
Yes.
No.
It's rejection without thinking.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a lot to ponder on.
And it is something I would advise anybody, especially those I love, to not start their by rejection what is being said.
Rejecting
what is being said. Allow your brain few seconds of processing what is being said to you.
Yeah. Don't listen to answer, listen to understand. It's an interesting one, because especially in times of argument or emotions, which can arise and happen, it's part of the human experience. You're so riled up that you wanna futfid, you wanna let out what's been clustering inside of you. But I think it's especially in these sensitive moments, that's the most important time to process what's being said to you. And then answer. I think if we all approached each other with the need to understand each other rather than win over each other, the world would be a very different place. And Eckhart Tolle says this.
Habiba, it's even way worse than that. Most people do not listen to answer. They just answer without even listening. They don't even, if you ask them what I just said, they will not even remember.
Oh, I've seen that happen.
But they have ready answers. Just like, and what is it? They just want to be right. They're so afraid that they are wrong. God forbid.
Eckhart Tolle talks about this in his book. I was reading it at the pool today. I think it's called A New Earth or something. But he talks about in the first few chapters of the ego's need to be in strife and in argument and in disagreement, because the ego needs an enemy. And that's why the ego refuses to compromise. And when you find yourself refusing to compromise or understand the person that you're dealing with, it's strictly your ego functioning, and the ego needs an enemy.
Yeah, an ego needs an enemy. An ego needs a battle.
It needs a battle.
An ego needs to win always.
Yeah.
An ego have no empathy, no sympathy, no understanding.
Yeah.
An ego is trapped in the moment of me, 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 me.
Yeah, it's all about the I.
If, you know, I love this man.
He's Eckhart Tolle, love him.
He's one of the most spiritual people I met, and I met a lot of them.
My audience is always asking me about book recommendations, so I'm going to recommend The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, which I've recommended many a time. If you haven't read it yet, you are the problem. And then A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle.
Listen to his lectures, listen, and I tell you what, just watch his presence. You see, the thing about this guy is just watch him, and anyway, hopefully you'll understand.
He's phenomenal. I think he's a gift to mankind, truly.
And one of the things that I saw, he's a testimony to how spirituality can align us and bring us together, regardless where you come from, on whom we are.
It's the oneness. He doesn't differentiate or have any bias, which I appreciate too.
That's that the purpose of all spirituality and all religions, to take you to that point.
I agree.
Alhamdulillah.
I agree. I was talking to, because I was at the pool with, she's basically my right hand when it comes to work. So I was like, let's take the day off and let me go spoil you. So we went and had a pool and beach day, which was lovely. But we were talking, and we were talking about like this belief in God and how God always has a plan, and to just trust in his plan and trust in his plan and trust in his plan. And I really had this moment where, by the way, I'm not the richest, I'm not the prettiest, I'm not the whatever, but I genuinely and wholeheartedly, some days I really believe that I'm the luckiest girl in the world. And I believe it from like the depths of my soul. Because I just look at my life and I really think my life is proof of God's existence.
Alhamdulillah.
You know what I mean? And then also, this is a natural process of life, but there are some days where I'm like, oh, I really don't want to be alive. And not in a negative way. It's just this. Anyway, but then there are other days where I'm like, I'm so happy to be alive, just to get to witness God's miracles every day. And it's little things, by the way. It's not even that like big things happen, but just every little thing in my life to me is a miracle from God. I look at my cat, I look at you, even this conversation that we're having. I'm like, it's so miraculous. It's miraculous, Daddy.
It is, alhamdulillah. Only if we allow, you see, the clarity. And I was asked today a question about health, generally speaking.
Are you going to talk about coconut oil? I will lose my mind.
No. And I said most of the ailments of the mind and the body, and most of the ailments that we suffer from,
are
self-inflicted. And they also come from that we insist that solution has to be complicated and has to be expensive and has to be mammoth.
Yeah.
In reality, what we need is to go back to the roots, to the simplicity, to the basics, to the end elements of
life.
Of life.
I get you. I wanted to ask you as well. You distracted me, Dad.
As usual.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you something.
Tell me.
Oy, Dios mio. It was about men and women. It was about El Hombre and the Chiquitita. Actually, I did want to say something to you. So my first day back from Jordan, I went to meet my team and then a new talent that I was signing at this cafe. So then Sarah, who's been on this podcast before, Blondie, walked in. So two people came up to us and they were like, because she came up to me and she was like, I was wondering if it was you. And then Sarah walked in and I knew it was you guys. You know what I mean? So she was just basically telling me, I'm a huge fan. Your podcast saved my life. I'm going through a really tough time. It's what's keeping me going every day. And I was like, that's so sweet. Thank you so much for coming and saying hi, blah, blah, blah. And sweet, sweet little girl. I think her name is Bismillah. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's either Roz or Rose. She's from Iran. And her mom comes up to us. And her mom is this cute little lady. So beautiful and so sensitive towards her daughter. Like you could tell that she's in, I don't want to cry, that she's in pain because her daughter's in pain. And she just comes up to me and she's like, my daughter loves you. She's watching you every day because, and then she looked at her daughter and she was like, I will tell her. And she just looks at me. She's like, she's going through the biggest heartbreak of her life. Okay. And basically, I think she was going to get married or whatever. God removed him from her life. And you could tell how heartbroken the mom is over her daughter. The mom flew back just to be with the daughter to go through this rough time, which in itself is such a blessing to have your mom be able to be here for you, you know? And I looked at the girl. Anyway, this girl who's going through the biggest heartbreak of her life, and it's the first and only time you will ever cry this much over a guy. But I looked at her and I teared up because I was trying to explain to her, you're not sad over him. You're sad over yourself. You just don't know it yet. You're not crying over the heartbreak of a boy 9 times out of 10. You're crying over yourself. Your subconscious is fighting the fact that you allowed yourself to either be disrespected or love bombed or taken for a ride and a half. You know what I mean? And you don't know it yet, but zalana halik. You're crying over yourself. It's not him. It has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with you. And I told her, one day it's going to hit you. Remember me.
No.
Do you see what I mean? I just thought it was important to share because a lot of these times when we're crying over people or what we think is a relationship ended or a friendship forgotten or whatever it is, you're not really upset over the person. And لو كان فيه خير كان ضل. If there was any good in them, they would have stayed. God would have kept them. But that's the trash taking itself out. And it's your soul and your subconscious weeping over your soul and your subconscious, because your most valuable asset in this dunya is the limited amount of time that you have, and you wasted it on that. And the sooner you realize that, just the more beautiful life becomes when you're just aware of every second and every minute that is a blessing and a gift. I just wanted to share that because I know a lot of people are going through it.
It's the resistance. It's the resistance that we have to the destiny and to the flow of life.
Yes.
It is not meant to happen and that's it.
Yeah.
Just deal with the pain. Just don't get addicted to it, because I'm not asking you just to flip the page and like, oh, nothing happened, I'm happy. It doesn't really work like that. It is your right to feel the pain and the hurt and the heartbreak. And let me tell you one very important thing. There is no growth without heartbreak.
Facts.
The best thing that can happen to you as a human is to get your heart smashed into small pieces.
I agree. Shattered.
Shattered.
Yeah.
Because the light of God, the nur of Allah, nurillah jalla jalalu, the light of God, the wisdom, the enlightenment will never touch you if your heart is still.
Rumi says the wound is where the light enters you, or something along those lines. I butchered it, but that heartbreak and that shattering, all those cracks, that's where the light comes in, because otherwise there is no room for it to enter.
You might hate it at the moment, you might just laminate and over lament. Just don't lament, just don't dwell on it, and don't get addicted to the pain. Because
I told her, sorry to interrupt you, I told her, I actually kind of laughed in almost Astaghfirullah, I don't want to attract it yearning way, but almost in a, I wish someone had said this to me when I had my heart shattered. I told her, I'm like, enjoy every second of it.
Allah, that's the best thing you said.
I really did. I told her, I'm like, enjoy every second of what you're going through.
Yes.
It's the best thing that's ever happened to you.
Yes. The pain finally
will subside.
Now there are addictive personalities that hug the pain and doesn't want to go, doesn't want to let go.
I don't think she's one of those.
Those guys, they really need help. They really, really need. It's a different story.
And the people around them, God help them.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
But this girl, sending a little prayer for her.
She'll be fine.
I think she will be. I could see it in her energy. She's, by the way, beautiful. Just this natural, she had no, zero makeup on. She was just this natural beauty, the dark hair, the dark eyes, the white skin. Her mom's a cutie, cute little potato. Her mom's the cutest thing in the world. And she was just a beautiful woman, very natural, soft beauty. Do you know what I mean? And I there was something in her energetically. I think maybe my soul just understood her soul. And I think she has this yearning and this craving. And I think she's going to be a very powerful woman.
And just, I hope she will listen to this. You'll be fine.
Oh, she's going to be more than fine.
Yeah, you'll be very, more very than fine.
And bless her mama. Her mama is a beautiful little woman.
And subhanAllah, the one who deserves you will come.
Yeah, the one who deserves you will come. I agree. Also, if this is an interesting one, you know, the whole we accept the love we think we deserve, but the one who deserves you will come, but be the woman who deserves the best that mankind has you know, to offer.
How the irony of life. The same man that she's been shattered on, he'll come back to her in 3 years and she'll refuse him.
I think they always come back.
Because
such is life.
SubhanAllah.
Such is life. Yeah. But yeah. I think the one who deserves you will come for sure. I read a quote the other day and I posted it on my story and it got like 150,000 views. People lost their minds over it. It wasn't even my quote. But it was something along the lines of, do you think the God who gave you your heart as big as it is with all the love that it's capable of receiving and giving wouldn't create another heart made just for yours?
Alhamdulillah. Just deal with the endless abundance. See it.
That is, to me, the true faith. It's believing that. Believing that God made someone just right for you. And I personally believe that we were made in pairs. There is one person, one true soulmate out there for you. The one. I really believe that from every cell in my body believes it.
It's in Quran.
Yeah, it is. But there's also... Bismillah, I had this memorized and I actually wanted to talk about it. Bismillah, I saw a sheikh talk about it on Instagram. One of those Hamza Yusuf ones. One of the sheikhs that are like him. And he's, I think it's an ayah or a hadith, إنه خلقناكم منها منكم
من ذكر
لكي تسكنوا إليها
وخلق منها زوجها ليسكن إليها.
No, that's not the one. I can't remember. Anyway, it's for a different day. I think we can wrap up the episode. It's less than an hour. But I like how this went.
Alhamdulillah.
What do you think, Daddy?
I feel. I love you.
I love you too.
Allah yahfazak Rabbi.
Allah yahfazak anta.
Allah yahfazak Rabbi.
My sweet father.
Allah yahfazak.
Love you plenty, Daddy.
Alhamdulillah.
This was great. I think we should wrap it up here because I feel really good about it. I feel at peace. Alhamdulillah, I've been tired though, so this was actually very needed for me more than anything.
Alhamdulillah.
I'm sure, okay, can I wrap up, Barbara?
Yes, bro.
I'm sure there are things we didn't cover about men and women being friends. So ask us questions in the comments, send me DMs, and then we can dive more into this because I think it's a nuanced and multi-layered topic, and I kind of like it because I think it's one of the things where, especially in the global south, where there aren't enough proper conversations about this with proper guidance. You know what I mean? Without judgment, without mistreatment, with just a clear guide and a clear, healthy conversation. You know what I mean? I just think it's necessary because we were talking about this today when I told you, like, I'll look at the waiters or something when they tell me, oh, wow, and I'll be like, oh, I couldn't afford Indomie 4 years ago because I wish I had someone to tell me certain things when I was down on my luck that would inspire me and motivate me. So I just think these conversations are important. So let us know because I'm sure we didn't answer everything.
Alhamdulillah.
And I'd like to tackle this some more with you, my sweet father.
Allah yahyiki ya ummi.
All right, Daddy, I love you plenty. Can't wait to travel with you.
Ya Allah.
And then... that's it. Thanks for being here. I appreciate
you
a lot.
Thank you very much.
Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.